There's a whole lot of people in this world that know about Charles Spurgeon. They love him. They like the man. They look up to the man. And that, boy, I think it would be a great privilege to sit underneath him, wouldn't it? What we don't know. You ever took a day off from work? I'd like to go to France for 3 months. That's what he did. He'd take sabbaticals, wouldn't it? Psalm chapter 4. This is called the Song in the Night. We just read that, didn't we? Psalm 77. Asaph called and said, this is a psalm in the night. I remembered the psalm in the night. I went back and I read Psalm 4 in my troubles. It was nighttime. I couldn't sleep. Let me go read a psalm. It didn't work. The Lord had to give new mercies for that day. This is the psalm in the night. David was being mocked. He fled his son, Absalom, who raged against him, plotted against him, whispered in back rooms, hey, let's have a talk. Dad can't take care of you like I can. We need to appoint me the judge. I'll take good care. Let me kiss your hand. Oh, it's sweetness. This is for the Lord's glory. And they took 200 men unknowing. That's how wise we are. Look at all my wisdom. Yeah, you get suckered right into Absalom too. Took 200 men. Went to chase off David. David fled. His own son. A foe in his own home. Own flesh and blood. Half of David's DNA sitting right there in Absalom. Turned on. Would you have trouble sleeping? God, not a cave somewhere. Would you have trouble sleeping? They said, God can't help you. You're not His. There in chapter Psalm 3, verse 2. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. That's like Job's miserable comforters, isn't it? You having a hard time? What did you do? What did you do, Job? God's punishing you. That's a falsehood. God chastens His children. He doesn't punish them. All that punishment was in Christ. Our surety. Our atonement. But this is Christ first speaking here in Psalm 4. David wrote it. You and I can read it, find comfort in it. Asaph read it. Try to find comfort in it. We can see ourselves in it. But first and foremost, this is Christ speaking. The Psalm of Christ. It says in verse 1, hear me when I call. The Lord heard him always. Remember the tomb of Lazarus? And he said, Lord, I'm going to pray to you out loud. I know you hear me always. But I'm going to say this out loud so those people standing around can hear it and see what you can do. See who I am. See who you are. He says, oh God of my righteousness, speaking to his Father. That's the one whose will he is performing on this earth. It says, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. That Garden of Gethsemane. The Lord sent angels to him, didn't he? We can never, ever enter into the distress that was put on him. I can't enter into it just if I was the only one that he was dying for. What the stress of my sin, the wrath that was coming for it, the separation, God turning his back on God, sweating great drops of blood. That was just for one, I can't enter into it. Man can never enter into the distress that he had. And the Lord enlarged him. He filled him. What a thought. Now Christ our preacher. He says, verse 1, thou hast enlarged me when I was in stress. Have mercy upon me. If you've got a marginal reference, that means be gracious unto me. Grace and mercy go hand in hand, don't they? Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. Verse 2 says, oh, you sons of men. Here's Christ our preacher, our prophet, our priest. Said he preached to the great congregation in Psalm 40. Oh, you sons of men. How long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long are they going to mock him on the cross? How long do they pursue him in life? The Pharisees plotting against him. Think how they're going to stone him. Think they're going to how to get rid of him. How are we going to create? Let's tangle him up in his words. how Herod pursued him in infancy. That was his glory. Come to this earth, fulfill the Father's will, die for his people, what he promised he would do in eternity before. Be our surety, redeem his people. How long are you going to make that a shame? It says, how long will ye love vanity? How long will ye seek lies? Let me go look some lies out. What's vanity? What's vain? Everything in this world. What's vain? Religion's vain. Isn't it? All of man's thoughts, man's, I think, wrong. Lies. You're seeking lies. Plug your ears. You're loving vanity. It's warm and fuzzy. Well, everybody else is doing it. It's like Christ comes to his people and preaches to them. How long are you going to keep up doing what you're doing? What do you ask John? How's that working out for you? And he speaks effectually and power to the hearts of his people. We respond, don't we? All that leasing, all that lying, contrary to the Word of God, contrary to security in him. It's security in anything else. What do we seek? Man, by nature, man says, well, what's everybody else doing? God wants things. That's vain. He doesn't want nothing. He's God. He's trying to do. God doesn't try nothing. He's God. If he tried and wanted, he wouldn't be God. He's the sovereign. And lies. All you got to do is accept him. He's wanting you to do something. Do this, do that. God loves everybody. No, he don't. You ever read your Bibles? What's that about Esau? Jacob, have I loved Esau? Have I hated? No, I didn't. Well, I didn't like Esau much. I hated him. God says he's angry with the wicked every day. He hates sin. That's what we are in. What a horrible thing when we see ourselves, when we see love, when we pause on that. All of my religion that I played with like a child growing up was vanity. It was all lies. Because it came from man. And I made a God like unto me, as the psalmist said. Pause on that. Think on that. If we left there, we're in bad shape, ain't we? But God. Look in verse 3. But no. Don't consider, don't think. Don't weigh out the possibilities. You want, let's sit around and debate this. No. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly. Here's the answer to all those rhetorical questions the Lord asks us. You've been vain? You shame my glory? Are you lying? Is that what you look for? Do you seek out lies, controversies, conspiracies? Is that what you're looking for? But no. God's set apart. He's sanctified. He's anointed the godly. The Lord's set apart. Who's godly? Human fools? A great writer of old? Oh, that's a godly man. Those are godly people. Christ is the godly man. Isn't he? The firstborn of God. The anointed. The ordained. The elect. The Holy One of Israel. God has set him apart. He has distinguished him. Then verse 3 says, for himself. For himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. The capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. The Lord of hosts, the Lord Jehovah. He will hear when I call. Is that bold? That's a bold statement. I'm going to call to God and he's going to hear me. That's our Lord talking about prayer with his Father. Communion. Intercession he makes for his people with his Father. Verse 4 and 5, the Lord gives us 6 points of instruction. He's preaching to his people. He convicts them of sin. He shows them that he is all righteousness, that the work's accomplished. And then he gives us 6 points of instruction. How everyone is to respond to the preaching of the gospel, to God. And he did each of them. Look here in verse for. Stand in awe. His whole life, from a cradle to the grave, all that suffering, he stood in awe of his Father. Honored the Father in all things. Have I done that? And sin not. Do I sin? He knew no sin. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that I might be made his righteousness. He stood in awe. He didn't sin. Commune with your own heart upon your bed. How often I commune out loud? How often, like Asa, if I complain out loud? Commune with your own heart upon your bed in private. In private. Where'd the Lord go to pray? He'd always go away from a crowd, wouldn't he? He'd go up into a mountain. Get away from all the religious folks playing church. And he'd go pray to his Father, wouldn't he? And be still. Be steady. Be confirmed. Aaron's sleeping in those boats. Storm raging. Professional sailors and fishermen were on the boat and they got nervous. They were losing their minds. Go wake the Lord up. We're going to die. They knew what they was talking about. This wasn't a little, the boat. We got one wave over the top. That's what they did for a living. Go wake him up. He was asleep. Still. Resting. Wasn't he? It says in verse 5, offer the sacrifices of righteousness. He's the righteous one. He sacrificed himself. He laid down his life for his friend. And put your trust in the Lord. His whole life trusting the Lord. Hanging on a cross, trusting his Father. Bearing the sins of many, trusting his Father. Giving up his ghost, trusting the Father to raise him from the grave. Because he said, I will not let my Holy One see corruption. Trust, he believed God. Has there ever been a day that I walked around not believing God? Once or twice, maybe? We think awful highly of ourselves, don't we? I think awful highly of me. Verse 6. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, tell us something good. Show us a miracle. I want to see a sign. Can you show me a sign? I'll believe if you show me a sign. You come down off that cross, I'll believe you then. I know you heal people and the lame walked and the blind seen and deaf. You preach the gospel, nobody cares about that. That's a miracle he listed. Come off that cross and I'll believe. Show him something good. He replies, Father, Lord, lift up thou the light of thy countenance upon us. Lift up your Son. Exalt your Son. Glorify your Son as he glorifies you. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. Ever had good profits. They had good increases in money. They had plenty of wine, plenty of corn. And they chasing the Lord, casting his teeth on that cross. Show us something good. We got it made. I got stockpiles at the house. Show us something good. And he prays, let thy Son be exalted. Lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. Us. What did he say when he got baptized? John baptized me. He said, I need to be baptized by you. I ain't got no business baptizing. He said, suffer it to be so because it behooves us, his people, those put in him before time was. I will both lay me down in peace. Sleep. I try laying down sometimes. I can't sleep. You ever try to make yourself go, I'm going to go sleep now. Huh? Don't work, does it? He laid himself down. He gave up the ghost. He slept for his people. I'm just physically slept on this earth. He slept eternally for his people, suffering that wrath of eternity for his people. 4. Why to do that? For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. The Father, put gladness, joy, rejoicing in the heart of Christ to bear our punishment, to bear us, that feminine noun, sin, what we are, to be made one with us. And He gladly did it. He dwells in safety. He said, I will not leave thy soul in hell, nor suffer my Holy One to see corruption. He said, I'm going to raise you. You know what that means? He is risen. He laid Himself down in peace. He slept, and He is risen because the Lord Himself, the triune God, said, I'm going to raise you. Payment is complete. It is finished. Redemption's accomplished. We're purchased possession. Sealed forever. The work's completely finished. This is our Lord speaking. But let's read this as David read it, as he wrote it. Let's read it as you and I read it. That's good for us, isn't it? Give us some shoes to walk around in through the week. Tuesday morning, and it'll give you something to chew on. Look here in verse 1. Hear me when I call. This is not a command to God. This is not just a salutation to Him, beckoning Him. This is prayer. Prayer. I need to be heard. Do you know that? When we pray unto God, we need heard. Do you? Is that the one thing needful? We need Christ. We need to hear Him. Hear me, God. Not for my much speaking, not for my vain repetitions and this prefab stuff that somebody else said, and I think that sounds pretty good. I'm going to say that too. Put my hands out. Make a show. God, hear me. That's the start and end of a prayer. You pray that, God, hear me. Oh, if you would hear me, what that means, what that holds. We have access to Him too. Isn't that amazing? Through the blood of Christ, we have reconciliation. We have access to that throne of grace. We can be heard of Him. We can approach Him because of Christ. Because of the Lord, our righteousness. What makes a human think that the Holy God would even listen to us? We know what we are. Has it been revealed to me what I am? Am I troubled to where I can't speak, as Asaph said? It says there, O God of my righteousness. His righteousness is my righteousness. As holy as Christ is, that's how holy His people are in the eyes of God. Because they are. Because they are. God of my righteousness. I wrote this down too. This is the only time in Scripture that this is worded this way. Oh God of my righteousness. And what a thought. I can't lose it. Because He's the God of it. Who manages? We always manage things. Let's make some decisions. Let's run some stuff. Who manages my righteousness? Whose security established my righteousness? Who keeps it? There's a God of my righteousness. He is my righteousness, and He's the God of my righteousness. What a thought, huh? It says, He hast enlarged me when I was distressed. That was past tense. That happened before, Lord. In the past, not puffed up, not enlarged me, but You've filled me with Your Spirit in times past. This has happened before. Like Paul was writing, you get troubled about something troublesome. That bothered me. Did you get any patience out of that? Did the Lord teach you to be patient? Did you gain experience out of that? There's a whole lot of babes in Christ, little tiny babies. It takes time. This ain't fast. Over years and years and decades and decades. Not under a false gospel, under the truth. You want a corrupt seed or an incorruptible seed? That corrupt seed's been growing a long time, man. An incorruptible seed. Over a long time, we keep having these trials, these troubles. Lord, be hard with us. Because it'll develop patience. He'll grow patience in us. He'll teach us to be patient. And then we'll have experience. Well, this happened for 25 years. I've had this happen 9 times to me. I've had some experience with this. What do I think is going to happen? God's going to show me Christ again at the end of this trial. I'm going to be grown again at the end of this trial. Now I have hope, because hope's a person. Hope's not a thing, not an event, not a baptism whenever I was a little kid or something. Hope's a person. That's who is my hope. Lord, you've enlarged me before. You know how he enlarged you? You were shrunk. We need to be withered. Like a California raisin. We need to be out in the sun and his light getting shriveled up to where we can't talk. To where we can't do nothing. We're brought down to nothing. Shriveled up. Dry. So dry your mouth can't say good or bad. You can't say nothing. You shut up to sin. Shriveled up. He enlarges us. He enlarges us. When we're in distress. Have mercy upon me, Lord. Be gracious to me. Grace and mercy. They go hand in hand. That's gracious mercy. That's what we need. Mercy. And Lord, hear my prayer. When are we going to cry out for mercy? Everybody wants mercy. When are we going to cry out for it? When are we going to cry out for it? Lord, be gracious to me. When is he going to hear our prayers? When are we really going to pray? Not get up and say words. When are we going to pray? When you're shriveled up. You're begging the Lord to heal you. To enlarge you. Verse 2 says, O ye men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? People shame my Lord. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Christ. He says in Psalm 2, He is my glory. People all around me shame my Lord. They turn into shame. Man says it was an attempt of God to save people. That's a shame. That's a lie on God. Nature wants to contribute. We start here in Galatians on purpose because of what wolves are in this part of the country. It's another gospel. It's not another. It's a completely wildly different another gospel. That's what the word means. And the different another is different. It's not close to the same. It's not close to the same. It's turning the cross of Christ into a shame by saying he didn't accomplish your righteousness, your holiness, your sanctification, and you got to add to it. His faith ain't enough for you. You got to grow in your own faith. It's a shame, isn't it? Vanity and lying. That's man's thoughts. That's man's religion. Nothing but vain thoughts and vain religion, making gods out like themselves that want things. Lie. All that vanity is going to perish. All those lies and those thoughts are going to perish. The Lord's going to burn them up. It won't stand in His presence. In verse 2 says, Selah. Consider that. How long? How long? We are not of them that draw back, are we? Not, we're not conforming the gospel to keep everybody happy. That hurt my feelings. You just told me that one time. I knew God for a long time. It was under a false gospel, under a God that wants things, under a God that didn't finish it. You got to get holier yourself. Kevin, you saying that hurts my feelings. You're saying Galatians was all wrote about me and this better doctrine, they say. This better church that's all around us. Kevin, that hurts my feelings. I ain't changing it. That'll be my test. My test as a young preacher, young pastor, is going to be, will I change the message? Will I soften the message to keep people happy? Will I do some jumping jacks and dances? I'll play guitar while I preach to keep emotions going. That's what God's going to test me in. We're not of them that draw back. Why? My God didn't draw back. Look at verse 3. But no. Don't you forget this. You know it. That the Lord has set apart him that is godly. Those that are in Christ. Those that he's set apart. He's sanctified. He's anointed. His elect. Those he elected in his love. He set them apart. Here's a word that'll grab you. Keep you from sleeping. You know what Spurgeon called this? Discriminating grace. Ooh, in our day, that's a bad word. When man discriminates, it's a bad thing. You better pray God discriminates. He chooses to be gracious to some. What's your glory, Lord? Moses asked him. He said, I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. And I'll be merciful to whom I want to show mercy to. And I'm going to put you in the rock. in the cleft of the rock. I'm going to put you in Christ, and you're going to see my back parts. I'm going to walk past you. I'm going to be in your presence. That's distinguishing grace. That's not what man deserves. That's not what we've earned in ourselves. It's what we grew up to be. That's God's salvation. Discriminating grace. Distinguishing grace. What's the start and the end of that? What's the Alpha and Omega of our faith, of our salvation, of anything that's required of us? What's the root cause of God saving a man or a woman? And what's the assurance? Do you want assurance? I want assurance. I want comfort. Don't you? How can I have assurance in God? I don't care what it says. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. It's not dependent on man, is it? I chose you, God. No, you didn't. God chose his people for himself. What's the security in that? What if I don't feel like it's secure? It don't matter. I ain't my security. He is. I'm not my assurance. He is. That man prayed in the temple, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And he pounded upon his chest. And he got up. And it didn't say he did cartwheels all the way down the hill, did it? He was justified. He was God. He prayed to God. He worshiped God. That's what matters, isn't it? That's primary. The glorification of God. For himself. How eternal is the Lord's promises? He did this for himself. It's eternal. Forever. Can't be undone. Why? For his name's sake. For Christ's sake. For himself's sake. He chose us and set us apart. Made us godly. For our benefit, yes. But for his glory, which is infinitely more important than my benefit. I want with them. What's in it for me? You show up to a job interview. What's in it for me? How much do I get paid? Where's the comfort? Where's the fun? Where's this peace and sleep at night? Lord, your glory. Your will be done. That's what he teaches us to pray. But they go hand in hand, don't they? His glory and our good. Ain't you thankful for that? Ain't you thankful we're set apart for his sake, to him, unto good works? We're his workmanship. When we see the God of our salvation, we respond. We will respond. We always need instruction and reminding, though, don't we? This is, it never fails to blow my mind, the ability of this two-edged sword of the Lord's Word. In the same, like we looked at the other day, in Psalm 3, the same word cuts asunder. I mean, get people so mad, they'll grit their teeth, and they'll get up and they'll storm out. I ain't listening to this no more. The same word from the same earth of vessel, the same water, takes his children and says, "Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you." That's amazing. These six things here, it's a word of comfort and instruction to believers, but a word of warning to those outside of Christ. That keeps all men and women without excuse. But these six things are a blessing to those in Christ. It says firstly there in verse 4, stand in awe. Be ye angry. That's what it means. When Paul was writing there in Ephesians 4:26, he says, "Be ye angry and sin not." That's what he's quoting. Stand in awe. Be ye angry. What are we going to be mad about? Well, we get mad over anything, can't we? We ain't got enough sense to shut up and wait on God to fix it. I get mad. I ought not do that. Oh, but to be angry at myself. Be angry at the sin that I am. To despise sin. To despise false religion. To despise lies on God. A sheep cannot sit and listen to a lie about their God. About the God. If you're the Lord's child, you can't sit underneath the preaching that tells lies on God. You can't stand it. Somebody's telling lies on my wife. I ain't going to stay in that room. I'm going to stand in awe. I'm going to be staying in anger. I'm going to be angry, ain't I? It means staying in anger, but also means staying in reverence. Stand in adoration. Stand in amazement. We use the word awesome now for everything, don't we? I got new shoes. Awesome. Is it really? Should we stand in amazement at shoes? I'm thankful the Lord gave it to us. We throw words around our generation, as other generations did too. But consider the things that are all. You stand in awe of God's grace towards His people. It's amazing grace. My pastor growing up said, if amazing grace ever loses its amazingness, it ain't no longer grace. Grace is gone. That doesn't get old, does it? The Lord was gracious to stand in awe. Oh, stand in reverence. In awe of the redemption of His blood. The worth of His blood. The completion of that redemption. Total, eternal redemption. Never ending mercy. As we sang, grace greater than all of our sin. We can't out-sin it. We can't mess it up. We can't undo what God has done. We can't unbind what He's bound. And long-suffering. Do you ever stand in awe of long-suffering? Does that break your heart? Is that a broken and contrite heart? When you say, Lord, you keep coming to me. You keep being patient to me. You keep teaching me. You keep feeding me. You're providing everything for me. You keep showing me Christ. Oh, how long suffering. What suffer I cause. And you ever stand in awe of the love of God? Not my love towards Him. I love Him because He first loved me. But my love's nothing. His love. Herein is love. Not that you loved Him, but that He loved His people. And He sent Christ, the propitiation, that bloody sacrifice, that mercy seat. I need a mercy seat. I need to go in between to be able to approach God. If I go in there, I'll die. If I get close to it, I'll be like Uzziah, and I'm going to get leprosy off of me. The Lord will strike it down. It ain't happening. He's our mercy seat. What's inside that mercy seat? That's where they sprinkled the blood. The broken tablets of the law. He completed it. It was in Him. Fulfilled. Now we can approach God. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. We didn't get better. Well, you've got to quit that now. You got to straighten up. Comb your hair right. Get a haircut. Put some nice clothes on. Get down here and you say these prayers. And now God will accept you. Now you can have a mercy seat. Now you can have His love. No! A dead dog sinner. Like that demonic man. Just stark naked. Crazy. Not in his right mind. That's who God came to die for. Sinners. 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 Harlots. Lepers, publicans, worst of the worst. That's love. Give yourself to somebody that wants nothing to do with you. And then to come to them. To redeem them and then to come to them. And reveal yourself to them. And keep them. And sustain them. And be long-suffering to them. And show them that redemption. Show them that they're sealed. Show them their assurances because He did it for Himself, for His glory. What love, amen. That's the first thing. Stand in awe. I'll try to go quick. Number two, sin not. Stand in awe and sin not. I've sinned more this morning with you looking at me to send me to an eternity's worth of hell tenfold over. People stop sinning? No, we want to. We stand in awe. We stand in anger of ourselves. I don't, oh wretched man that I am. But He's speaking of that sin unto death. But John spoke of in 1 John. To turn from Christ. Turn from that one that saved us back to vanity. Back to our righteousness. Our pride. Turn from that one that saved us back to leasing. Shameful lies. Why don't we draw back, as Paul said? Because he said, we're not of those that draw back. Christ prayed that Peter's faith fail not. You know that? He said, Peter, Satan wants you. He wants to sift you like wheat. And he could do that's what we'd be, wouldn't it? Just dust. He'd chew us up in a heartbeat. He said, but I've prayed that your faith fail not. Go through there and take faith out and put Christ in. I pray that your Christ fail not. It's His faith, isn't it? If we have any faith at all, it's His faith. Faith of Christ. And he said, I pray that I stay with you. It's so, isn't it? That's why we don't draw back. The Lord keeps us. Verse 4 says the third thing. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed. You commune with your own heart. I'm to commune with my own heart. And I could do it on my bed. Privacy of my own home, in my closet. Pray to God. Worship God. Apply this at home. Public worship is vital. The Lord stresses it. It's in His Word. I hate that if that upsets anybody, but don't forsake the assembly of the saints. You know the gospel, you should sit underneath it. That's where you want to be if you're His. He'll make you. He'll put that desire in you. But we're to dwell on these things at home too. We don't just worship God and we don't just call to Him. We don't say, Lord, hear my prayer once on Wednesday evening and Sunday morning and Sunday evening. And then, well, it's Tuesday now. I got work to do. I got a world to live in. Nonsense. My pastor told me we had some nursing students in the congregation. It's about to be nurses. One of them is a doctor now. And I said, you go to school and you learn the book stuff. And then you go and you have a practicum. Or you do an internship. And that's where you apply what you learned in the book, isn't it? You got to go, you've learned these things. Now you're going to put them to use. You're going to put them in shoe leather. You're going to go put that IV in somebody's arm. You can go do it. We come here to the preaching of the Word. We get the instruction from the Lord. And you know what's going to happen Monday morning when you wake up and go to work? If He sees fit, if He decides to not wither you, well, that case too, and to fill you back up, He's going to put His Word in your heart. Make you dwell on Him. This ain't part-time, but it's life. Life. All day, every day. We dwell on these things, don't we? Personal worship. That's what this is speaking of. I'm going to tell you plainly. Personal worship, communion with God without public worship, is a sham. It's fake. What would y'all think if I retired? If I wasn't a pastor, and I worked a job for 30 years, saved up a whole bunch of money, I retired, and I said, well, I'm retired now. I ain't going to be with my wife no more. That was my working wife. That wasn't my lifelong wife. It's crazy. Something's wrong with you, son. You better sit down. What are you thinking? I've seen people do this. Well, I retired now. I don't go to church no more. What? In my world. Paul. I'll bite my tongue. Paul wrote to Corinth, had some hard things to say to him. He said, you got problems eating, you eat your house. That's what your house is for. And laid them down. And he said, you can't bear the rest of it, but when I get in person, I'm going to get on. You didn't do it enough. Whew. There's some in-person things that need to be had done. It says in verse, the fourth thing there. Stand in awe, sin not, commune with your own heart upon your bed, and be still. How many times are we told to stand still and wait on the Lord? Stand still and look to the Lord. See His salvation. I was called as a child the frozen chosen. See, you're chosen to God, and y'all just cold as ice. It's like a funeral home in there. Well, we're reading a will, ain't we? Somebody said, you're dressed like you're going to a funeral. Maybe I am. Might be mine. These are serious matters. You be still. Calm down. There's no hands waving and yelling and carrying on. And stand in awe. Rejoice in trembling. Serve the Lord in fear is what He says. You know whose presence you're in? If He has gathered two here today, He said, I'll be in their midst. God Almighty's here. You know whose presence you're in? Who you want to hear? Selah, consider that. You know, if you're talking, you can't hear. Do you know that? Words coming out of this, these are shut, ain't they? Or you can't distinguish it, or you're going to mess it up and get the words backwards. Uh-oh, that's even worse than that. Be still. Fifth thing. It says in verse 5, offer the sacrifices of righteousness. We don't bring nothing to God. What's our righteousness? Filthy rags. Menstruation cloths. That's what that is. We have nothing. But we sacrifice. We kill. We cut in two our righteousnesses. Everything that was good, everything I thought was good, all this good work I did, all these charitable things, all this, I was serving the Lord. I didn't know Him. You kill it. Just burn it. put it away, and we bring to God Christ, the righteous one. What sacrifice are we going to bring to God, to the Lord? You better bring Christ and nothing else. He said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Not Him plus something. Not Him and your help, in Him. Him alone. He's the righteousness that God accepts. Remember, Cain and Abel both had their sacrifices. And the Lord said He had respect to Abel's sacrifice. He had respect to the sacrifice. Not the blood of bulls and goats, is it? Christ's blood, that's what that was showing. Christ's blood. Lastly, number 6. Or in verse 5, put your trust in the Lord. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Trusting in anything else is vanity. Trusting in anything else is a lie. You look to money, you look to you choosing the Lord, works. Oh, I pray so much. I have devotionals. You ever heard devotionals come out of my mouth? Try to be a good example, you all. I'm going to give God 10 minutes today. What nonsense. I'm going to serve Him one day a week. Oh, it's the Almighty God. Trust Him. Trust Him. After that response to the shame, the vanity, the lies, after the preaching of the truth, declaring the Word of God, Christ Himself, many people want more. They hear all these things. I want to stand in awe of the Lord. I want to be still. I don't want to sin. I want to wait on Him. I want to bring only Christ to the Lord. So I want Him to be my only hope and plea. Many people, many people, they want more. Broad is the path to destruction, and many they are that walk therein. Huh? Many want more. Verse 6 says, there be many that say, who will show us any good? What's good in this world? There's so much badness around us, isn't there? There's 72,000 children about to starve to death on the other side of the world. There's abortion clinics all over. There's big mean people making decisions for us. Oh, show me good. It's all bad. How are we to respond to that? Lord, show us your good. We need to see Him, don't we? How long are we to respond to that? Are we to debate it? Are we to take a long time explaining each one of these things? Of standing in awe, of rejoicing, of bringing only Christ to God? Do we explain that and debate it and teach them? No. Pray Christ is exalted. Look at the second half. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. Upon us. What a thought. Lord, show us to yourself one more time. Verse 7 says, thou hast put gladness in my heart. Gladness, rejoicing, joy, peace. And just plain old being glad. I got a friend of mine, been a pastor for a long time, and I'll write him some big text, like, oh, I love that article you wrote. That's exactly what I need. The Lord spoke to me. Lord, use you to speak to me today. Thank you. And he'll write back, glad. Glad. Good. Gladness in our heart. Contentment in our heart. Settledness. Like the seas tossing them to and fro. Calm down. Settled. Christ lifted up, glorified. Salvation's forever in Him. That's more important than the increase of wine and corn. Psalmist wrote, oh, I'm so jealous of them. Their eyes are bugged out with fatness. I was jealous until I went to the house of the Lord. Till I saw him high and lifted up. Glad was I said when they told me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. It says in verse 8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. Lay down in peace. Why are we at peace? There's no warfare anymore. Condemnation's put away. There's no condemnation between us and the God we offended. There's peace. There's reconciliation. That's justification is what he's talking about. I will lay me down in peace. I'll lay me down in justification. When I was a kid, they taught us justification means just as if I had not sinned. That's not it. That's not it. That's the best they knew at the time for that generation, for those people. They're dead now. That's not what that means. Justified. If somebody broke in my home and I shot them and I went to court and they said, no, it's legal. If they come in, we'll kill your family. And you're justified. Justified homicide. That's the best way I can think to put that. And then I walk out. There's no more charge. Everything I did was right. I did not offend the law. In Christ. It's not as if. We are as righteous as Christ is, as holy as He is. Lay me down in peace and sleep. Physical sleep, yes. We're not, believers don't always get 8 hours of sleep or wherever they want you to get. I didn't sleep much last night, but also the sleep of the grave. Peace always comes before sleep. Do you know that? To God's child, that's how it comes. He speaks peace to their heart. Before they die, He won't lose one of them. He'll make us glad in our hearts, make us rejoice in our hearts, make us stand in awe of Him and see His righteousness. And He'll hear us and we'll know that He heard us. We'll have peace and then we'll sleep. Then we'll go to the grave. Every one of them. My friend John Chapman said one time, he said, he's a pastor and his job is threefold. His primary job, when I get up here, my primary goal is to glorify God. If I ain't doing that while we're here, well, I don't think it don't matter what you think. My job is to glorify God. Secondly, is to feed the sheep. Not feed the goats, not feed the wolves, not feed the giraffes, feed the sheep. And the third objective, my third commissioned task, is to prepare you to die, to meet a holy God. I care for you. I want you to have peace before you lay down to sleep. How can we sleep in peace? How can we do that? End of verse 8. For thou, I will lay me down in peace and sleep, because for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. He's our safety. He's our security. When's in this world, when's the most the time that you're most vulnerable? It's when you're sleeping in it. You know, sleep with one eye open. You ain't sleeping, that's keeping an eye open. That's shutting one eye. When we're asleep, we don't know what's going on around us. Thieves could come in the night. All our defenses that we think so strong could be overcome with a whisper. That's when He's our security. Our safety. And while we're awake, that's when He's our safety. And when we're withered and shriveled, He's our safety. And whenever we're filled all to the brim and my cup runs over, Lord, Lord, praise You. Woo! I'm just excited. We're safe. You can get too puffed up. He's your safety. We are safe only in Him. He said, for Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Wouldn't it be a blessing to go to sleep in peace every night knowing that we'll be safe in the Lord in all things forever? Wouldn't that be a comfort? If it ain't, if somebody's got problems with doubt, you're going to have to tear out half the Psalms. A whole lot of doubt, a whole lot of suffering, a whole lot of sleepless nights, ain't they? But to know that eternity, when we lay down and rest, because of Christ our righteousness, what He did for His people, and only Him, will be in Him forever. He'll be our security forever. Wouldn't that be something? Hope it makes you sleep. Let's pray again.